This is Warn Radio, Remnant Battle Lines for the End Time Christian Believer. Greetings, this is the Watchman, Dana Smith. This show is part headline news, prophecy, biblical commentary, guest interviews, and special presentations. Join us today as we enter into the lines of the remnant and the battle before us. This is the end of days. Darkness is all around, but victory is assured in Jesus Christ, and we are the remnant. And through faith in the promises and a God who will not fail, we shall overcome. Greetings, and glad you came.
Greetings, and welcome to Wednesday night's Remnant Battle Lines Prophecy News Hour with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on Prophecy News Hour, we will be talking about Christians, Niger, persecution, Israel, Gaza, Europe, and more. Stay tuned for more on that later. It is Wednesday, the 7th day of February, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Exodus chapter 21, starting at verse 1 through chapter 24, verse 18. Jeremiah chapter 34, verses 8 through 22, and chapter 33, verses 25 through 26. The New Testament portion is Mark chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 28. You can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read the latest articles by the Watchman and listen to the news shows and the Bible studies. The Lucifer Project Group, a conspiracy, or is it yet real and behind the scenes? Learn now as a black ops sniper at a Remnant Patriot meeting in America discusses some issues about the behind the scenes going on in the government. Is it another line which is dealt with? It is another line which is dealt with in the book Steal the Darkness. And also the bane of lawless people. It is the misery, blight, or curse of an uncontrolled and ungovernable people who will not follow the moral code of the Lord God, the Watchman, Dana G. Smith, and the Word of Almighty God. Also, the apocalypse waits for no one. While the world marches on in all its faint-hearted glory, the apocalypse will wait for none of them. Apostles James and Jude warned about what is coming, but for the most part, the world ignores this, instead choosing to do their own thing. Party is on the mantra, live for today, for tomorrow we will die. You can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read the articles and listen to the shows. Check out Get Healthy Young Living. We have a new show. We'll be probably doing another one this weekend. Get Healthy Young Living or Living Young as You Grow Old. Our website is gethealthyyoungliving.com. You can find us on Facebook at Experience Healthy Young Living and on Twitter, hashtag Irish_harvest. Our ministry sites are warn-usa.com and Dana's professional writing site is danaglensmith.com. And about the show, Get Healthy Young Living, we will discuss issues that pointedly are biblical, practical, and something for all people need to do. That is, to get healthy. We will look to remove toxins through natural and healthy living, removing toxins from products we use, and to make products from natural, God-given sources. We'll look to the biblical essential oils, organic foods, lectins, A2 dairy, young living, or living young, and having a goal to be naturally healthy through the foods we eat and the products in our home. So join us for our new series, Get Healthy Living Young, Young Living, or Living Young as You Grow Old. You can follow the Watchman at hashtag Watchman IS216, hashtag Warren Radio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for our first segment, or for our Prophecy News Hour. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Yes, get healthy young living so we can be living while we're young. That's almost a tongue twister.
Yeah, it is. So living old.
Yeah, this weekend we will be doing another show for the Get Healthy Young Living. It's called Get Healthy Radio, and you can find it over on Get Healthy Young Living. And I've got an article that I just wrote, and of course, if you follow us on Twitter and a lot of other places, you would have seen that come across. This weekend, there's a number of things I want to talk about is longevity. Tower is going to be giving you some heads up on what we're looking at when we talk about longevity. And meanwhile, I'm going to tell you what our longevity is being diffused over here. But then that's not all. We got a few other surprises. And, you know, be sure to listen to them. And you'll find them. You can listen from our Warren USA site, our Dana Glenn Smith site. You can listen from any number of, especially over on our Get Healthy Young Living. You can also listen from our Spreaker site for Warren Radio. And, of course, our Spreaker extends out into a lot of different partners who stream it. This is our Watchman Alert Radio Network, or Warren Radio. That's why we call it Warren Radio, because we always tried to get a lot of other people that help us stream the signal. So, at any rate, Tower today, we have quite a few things coming across. Right in the middle of it, I don't know how many times you and I have talked about Nigeria. And that's the Fulani and Boko Haram.
Right, right.
And, of course,
lots and lots.
International Christian Concern came out with a little report that they had been documenting. And there's a lot of people reporting on all this stuff. ICC just happens to be one of them. That's International Christian Concern. They reported 44 attacks by the Fulani militants. Now, see, they had Jonathan Goodluck Johnson was a Christian president of Nigeria some time ago. He lost the election, and then this new guy came in. I forgot what his name is. I'm thinking about it, but I can't pronounce it fully. And he's a Muslim, and he had come out and said that he was going to do something to protect the Christians and stop the Fulani militants. The Fulanis, of course, are herders, and the Christians that are being attacked are farming villages. And so the Fulanis, who have been in touch with other jihad groups, decided that they would make jihad against the Christians to run them out and take over their farms so they could do their herds. And of course, Nigeria is in Africa, and tribal warfare has been part of Africa since You know, it was instituted.
Forever.
Yeah. So, you know, on January 1st through 3rd, the Fulanis attacked and killed more than 50 Christians. And then they attacked on the 5th and 6th and killed 15 more. Then they attacked the 16th through 17th, and they killed 29. Now, that's a lot more than 40 that they set up here in the beginning. So I don't know how they – matter of fact, this is the groupings I don't know how they figured it out, but that's a lot more than 40.
Yeah.
And of course, this is, you know, when we talk about this stuff, you know, this is stuff that never ends. And now another one, and now this is in Tehran. This is in Iran. There was 11 Iranian members of parliament who visited Evin prison this last month, according to ICC. This is another report coming out. Now, see, the biggest problem that we have here is that, you know, we've reported on a number of them, like Pastor Saeed Abedini, who was in prison there for quite a while.
Yeah.
And he was tortured. But there's a number of others. Miriam Nagash Zagaran, Pastor Victor Bet Tamaraz, and Amin Afshar Nadiri and Hadi Askari. Now, those, of course, are all Christians, and they live there. Now, in the case of Abedini, he was over there working to help some orphanages, I
believe.
And so, you know, we've now Abedini's been released, and there's been a number of them that have gotten released. But Evin is one of the most notorious prisons that Iran has, and nothing ever stops of it. And, you know, the abuse of Christians is well documented, yet Iran doesn't do anything. And this is where, you know, we have our the new religious representative that has just been, you know, installed from the U.S. And the main idea, Brownback, Senator Brownback, and, you know, they're supposed to be, he's supposed to be with his team watching for nations that treat people in such manner. And of course, we're not talking about people who, you know, if they commit murder or something. We're talking about people who basically were framed, and we found that in Pakistan and many other places. In Iran, they're just, they just throw their butts in jail. Saeed was over there totally different. Helping out with the orphanages, and he got put in prison for a long time. There was
Was it 3 years or something?
Yeah, quite a while, and he did get released, but they said that the Obama administration paid some money to Iran to release him. I don't know whether he did or not.
Well, this Miriam Rostampour, a Christian convert, was imprisoned in Evin for 8 months. She said, "One day is like a year. Some days you can't breathe because you don't know what's going to happen to you the next day. When people experience living in Evin prison, they will never be the same again. The stress is too much. We can't be the same people. We can't be as happy as before. We don't enjoy activities like normal people because all the time we think of those who are still there." And she reported that during her incarceration at Evin prison, she endured severe torture and was denied medical treatment for pre-existing health conditions. And she was released in August of 2017 after serving more than her sentence, probably all because she was a Christian convert.
Yeah, and we have seen that. And, you know, and this
I believe what she says, I believe that's true, that when you go through something like that, you're not the same. You'll never be the same.
No, you won't be. You can't be. And, you know, the thing here is that this is why we ask you to pray for Christians. We literally go through the nations every night. You need to pick out how you want to pray for them. But pray for them and find you a ministry that you can support that can help them. But, you know, this is just a couple of examples. And Iran and Nigeria are always, always on the list. We're always reporting on them.
Oh, yeah. It's sad, but that's the tragic truth.
Now, this comes out of India. Now, this is typical for Pakistan and also over in India. In 2008, the murder of a Hindu religious leader in India set off a bunch of violent attacks on Christian village in Odisha state. And there was thousands homeless, thousands upon thousands, they say. And they arrested a number of Christian men at random and accused them of murder. And after they had done that, a radical communist group came forward and claimed responsibility. By that point, the government could not lose face for arresting the wrong men.
Yeah.
And so the radical Hindus wanted to keep the Christians locked up. And this is, since the BJP party, the Hindu party, has come to power, you know, and we reported on this because it was coming out of India by the Christian leaders there that said as soon as the BJP got elected, they were worried about persecution because they saw it coming. And so 10 years later, seven of those men originally put are still behind bars after receiving a life sentence for their crimes. They never did it. And so what there's a petition going around if you want to sign the petition, you can Google ICC or International Christian Concern, and they should have it on the front of their website. And because they're going to call upon India to release the seven innocent men. I don't know if that'll work, but you know, it's better than just leaving them there.
Yeah, I hope it does get them out.
Yeah, yeah.
That's too bad. They're so proud that they can't admit being wrong.
Now, in another little story, we have something coming out of Niger. And this is Samaritan's Purse working there. And there's a man there by the name of Chibu Gustav Suli. And he leaves, following all the dusty little paths where the animals and the people walk. And that's all that connects the villages. And so these itinerant evangelists, native pastors, and this is common out in the bush. It's common in India as well. And they go out there, and they have a Bible, and, you know, and away they go. And he says, every day I leave early in the morning to start visiting villages. There was a ministry conference there, and he was talking to them. This was somebody from Samaritan's Purse. He says, sometimes I don't get back till late at night or I spend the night in the village. I try to visit all of 13 villages every week. Now, Samaritan's Purse, one of their ministries, works with local churches to train evangelists. And they take the gospel out. Now, the most successful outreaches, folks, is not by putting foreign missionaries on foreign soil. The foreign missionaries are merely support vessels. The main reaching out in the country has always been the best when done through their native people. And so, you know, this is what Samaritan's Purse does. And any project or any ministry that works over there you want to help the native pastors and native ministries there. And so when you have all these other groups that are working there, they are working through native pastors there. Now, it's different when you're talking about bringing in a hospital like Doctors Without Borders or Samaritan's Purse. What is the name of that movie we saw, The Dark?
Something About Darkness, Into the Darkness?
Yeah.
Is that it?
That was about a major plague.
Ebola, that only Samaritan's Purse was working, trying to eradicate that, you know, take care of the people and get them healed. Only Samaritan's Purse, nobody else would help them.
Now, that is on Netflix. I don't know where else it's on, but if you get a chance to watch that, you need to watch it. It'll flat wake you up. And, you know, so this is really important when we talk about these things. It's important to understand how these people work and that they need help. And sometimes, like in India, it doesn't take much to support these pastors and stuff. And so the ministries that are supporting them can actually support quite a few. And when they're talking about food, just a little bit can keep people alive. And when it's talking with kids to keep them alive, I forgot the shot. There's a shot that they give the kids. They used to give them to keep them alive because they were short on something. And I'm trying to remember what it was. Years ago,
Dana, that movie, Samaritan's Purse movie, is called Facing Darkness.
Facing Darkness, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at any rate, this is why it's important. Here in America or in the UK or in the Philippines or any number of, other nations, they have the resources. I mean, you're not faced with these kind of things. But I thought one of the neatest things, there's another person. I got to experience the life of an evangelist, said Delima Prosper, pastor of Chaibu's Sending Church. I was there for only 3 days, and yet with all the traveling between villages, my head hurt and I was tired. It was discouraging to visit a village where you see so many people rejecting the good news. And, of course, there's difficult travel and everything else. You're rejected. You can be persecuted and separated. But, the thing that is really interesting, both of the Pastor Delima and Chaibu's eyes lit up because they told the representative from Samaritan's Purse that even in places where they are rejected, there's usually at least one villager who, as they like to say, is their Nicodemus, the Pharisee who visited Jesus in private. And really, you know, when you do this, you're talking about going mainly to probably, let's do it this way. In India, it would be Hindus. Pakistan, it would be Muslims. Niger, it would be Muslim. So if you're one person in that village that wants to accept the Lord, you go privately at night and you do that. Because you're going to be dead the next day. That's how it works.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody holds anybody accountable over that. That's just the way it is. And so a Christian's life over in some of these countries, including India and Pakistan, is worthless. And, of course, India is worse because they've got, the untouchables there and other classes that are there. And once you get in a class, you're there forever the rest of your life.
And your family's there. You can't get out.
So you
it goes on forever and ever.
Yeah, you have upper level classes that oppress the others. And, you might be a toilet cleaner. Your daddy was and your granddaddy, and that's all you can ever be. You can never do anything else.
That's horrible.
It is.
To not have the opportunity to better yourself or improve your condition.
Yeah, yeah.
See, we just have a hard time understanding that because we're in America where you have the opportunities.
We've got another article, another story coming out of Bibles for the Mideast. I was going to have you read it, so while I do this, I'll let you look that over, and when you're ready, tell me. If you're ready now, then I'll let you do it now.
I don't see that.
Just go down a little bit. Scroll down. It's under Amico. It's Hindu Sorcerer.
Amico's Desperate Call?
No, Hindu Sorcerer.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I'll let you know when I'm ready.
Okay, do that. Now, Overseas Missionary Fellowship is another one that we've talked about. It was years ago, but they do quite a few things. And this one is about Japan. And this article is by Steve Weems, former Overseas Missionary Fellowship missionary to Japan. And so the story goes like this. I'm in bed with the flu, and no, I do not want to go to email apartment to tell her parents about Jesus. Okay, Kathy said. I'll ask her if we can come over tomorrow when you're feeling better. I agreed and tried to go back to sleep, but I felt guilty for letting a little fever and chills keep me from sharing the gospel. So when Kathy came back to say that Emiko really wanted us to come right away, I relented. 30 minutes later, we were at her door, ready to see why she and her parents had been arguing, crying all day long. Now, of course, she was introduced to her parents, to the parents of Emiko. And so, because she was sick, she sat down with a box of Kleenex, and there was tea served, and she says, my head was mush, so I made several mistakes in my Japanese grammar, as I asked questions and tried to listen to the very polite responses. We began to realize, just a minute here, we began to realize that they had very little idea what it meant to become Christians like their daughter. And that's true in a lot of places. They had been upset for hours because Emiko had told them how much it hurt her that they never told her they loved her. Maybe Amiko's religion could help fix the mess they had made, they wondered. So we gave them advice on how to pray to God to heal their family. Emiko finally came back into the room and we talked about her parents' unwillingness to go to church with her and see what Christianity had to offer. They still didn't understand what it meant to make a commitment to Christ, and we left Amiko's apartment wondering if our being there had actually accomplished anything. We arrived back home, and I tried to go back to sleep. Then the phone rang at 11 p.m. Our son answered it, then hung up the phone and said, that was Emiko. She apologized for calling late, but she wanted you to know her parents just prayed to ask Jesus into their lives. She said, thanks for coming over, even when you were sick. I turned over in my bed and thanked God for dragging me out of my sick bed to see him pour out his grace. And that's why you need to pray. Pray for Japan and pray for others. And
yes, amen.
You know, when you look at it, when you're rich and in need of nothing, like Americans seem to be at times,
mm-hmm.
You know, you might think that, hey, you know, is there anybody that really cares? But there is. Is there anybody that'll really come to the Lord? There is.
That's right.
And so that's a good story coming out of Overseas Missionaries
yes,
Fellowship from Japan.
That's exciting to hear that, those kind of stories. I love them. Thank God.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, this, I don't know how to say this man's name. Venkatesan?
Venkatesan.
He was born into a Hindu dalit, which is a depressed or untouchable class, and his family grew up worshiping idols and learning black magic from his sorcerer father. His mother was a Christian, and she attended the Christian prayer meetings, and she constantly prayed for the family and attempted to teach them about the divine help and salvation possible in Jesus Christ, but nobody wanted to have anything to do with them. And Venkatesan was a disagreeable person, even young, and he grew up even more depraved as the years passed. And he constantly squabbled with others, and hatred toward him increased. And one day, when he was 32 years old and he was out on his bike, he attempted to cross a motorway, and an oncoming truck rammed into him, dragged him a ways, and continued driving without stopping. And he laid by the side of the road near death for about an hour, and blood flowing continually from his wounds. No one would stop for help because they all thought he was dead. And when the police finally arrived and they found faint signs of life, they took him to the hospital, and he was there in a coma for several days. Well, his mother came with her prayer group, her church family, and their Bibles for Mideast Church, and they prayed and fasted for Venkatesan. And when all this was going on, Venkatesan had a vision of Christ coming down from heaven with thousands of angels, and then felt him touch him with his nail-pierced hands, he says. And the Lord told him, "I love you, my child. You are always my child. I will never leave you alone, and my love will never end. Be healed." And he opened his eyes. He saw his mother and the members of the prayer team kneeling beside his bed and praying. Their eyes were full of tears, and he called out to his mother. And in joyful surprise, she praised the Lord. And the medical staff, hearing the commotion, rushed into his bedside, and he lost no time telling them exactly what he had just experienced. His doctors declared it a miracle, and he declared he would now live for Jesus Christ. And his and his mother's prayers and the witness of their lives for Christ encouraged Venkatesan's father to turn to Jesus before he died several years later. And now Venkatesan is married and he has a son, and he remains faithful in service to the Lord through the ministries of Bibles for the Mideast. That's a wonderful story.
It is. And
We want to remember to pray for him and the many others serving Jesus in restricted areas.
If this doesn't choke you up, then you're dead.
That's for sure. That's amazing. Thank God.
I mean,
and it's exciting to me because he would never make that up, that the Lord came to him with that vision. You can't make something up like that.
No.
Especially when you're an unbeliever.
Because if you're a believer, the Spirit of God witnesses with your spirit.
Right.
And I'm
thankful. I'm amazed. You know, it amazes me, and I'm thankful that God visits these people.
Well, you know, that's true. And we've talked about this before. How that people get saved and there's no American missionary around. You know, now Bibles of the Mideast were around here, but these were native pastors. You know, it wasn't our money and a lot of other stuff. It was faith and obedience.
That's right.
And so Bibles for the Mideast gets some real good stories that they put up. And, of course, they put all the names... they change the names and stuff in order to protect those who the story is about, because if it ever gets back to some of these places, it's dangerous, absolutely dangerous for them.
Yes. Oh, scary.
Now, another place that's, you know, over in this whole area is Bangladesh. And Barnabas Aid is, now they do have an American address, and I thought they were in the UK, but they do have an American address. And Bangladeshi police marched into a desperately poor community where the Santal people there that live in a certain district in Bangladesh. And they fired rubber bullets and they evicted the Christians, of course, helped by local Muslims. They set fire to the wooden shacks. And, see, these Christians have nothing. They have wooden shacks with very little else, but yet they were burned out. They lost their homes and whatever they had, nothing worth anything. Three died, but up to 6,000 were homeless.
That's horrible. That's a lot of people.
You know, and the question of it is, how does Bangladesh get away with this without people holding somebody responsible?
That's right.
But when it comes to Christians, the world in these places don't care. I've seen it more often than not. They don't care. It doesn't matter that these are homeless. They shouldn't have been there. They're Christians. They're no good, you know. And so they get thrown down. So Barnabas Aid, they created 48 one-room homes. It's about 25% completed, and they have a couple of other things. So they're working on putting together homes, and so they're asking for money to help rebuild the community in Bangladesh. That's Barnabas Aid. So there's a lot of needs out there, folks. And of course, you notice as I've been telling you all this, I don't mention anything here about you supporting Warren Radio. We've been doing this for 20 years, doing and talking about Christians, talking about the news and various other things, doing the shows, not charging for the videos or anything else the Lord has provided. We do have people that help us, and without their help, we wouldn't be able to do that. We are an end-time agency, a preaching, teaching, warning agency, but we are an advocacy agency, and this is what we're doing tonight, is advocating for these brothers and sisters and these ministries, telling you that it's important to deal with these people.
Yes,
and
amen.
It's important to help these ministries. And so Barnabas Aid, building these homes for these. And, you know, you'd be surprised what you can build. Many, many years ago, we had a mission, some local native pastors that we were given money to help some of the people. And I forgot how much it was. It wasn't much money that they needed to build a guy a home, a family, a home. And we supplied the money for them. And it was a brick home made with, that looked like cinder blocks with a roof on it. And that was home. Man, I'll tell you, folks, you know, if you go around our town here and you see how big some of these houses are, it's a sin.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine living in a home like that. I would never feel comfortable. It would just be, no, I can't do that.
Yeah, and you look around, folks, see how well Americans really are living. And it's pathetic that Americans can't get along. You know, if we could get along and stop all the infighting, and I'm talking also the ones that have the money like George Soros and all these others and Facebook and Google, and then Jeff Bezos is one of the world's richest. If they could target a bunch of these Christian ministries and just give them $5 million to help these each one, you know, all these ministries. That would go a long ways.
Well, just think of all the money that Soros has spent trying to get rid of Trump. If he would have used that for good to help people like this, boy, that'd be amazing how much better off the world would be.
Yeah, but people don't do that, unfortunately.
No.
It's a crime. It is. Over in Europe, there's one thing missing over there, according to Gatestone Institute, and they were looking for money not too long ago. There's a lot of places looking for money. They do a lot of writers. They have a lot of writers. They do a lot of research. They do a lot of warning about important topics. We support Gatestone. I mean, not financially. We finance others, but we do support them in telling you that they're a good organization and stuff. You know, over the course of a number of years, synagogues, Jewish synagogues, have been turned into museums, swimming pools, shopping centers, because a lot of the Jews have been leaving Europe because of the increased anti-Semitism. And it's getting to the point, the World Zionist Organization did a poll, and they said half the Jews in Europe do not feel safe wearing any symbols of their faith, like the Stars of David or the skull cap. And we, you know, we have seen where they get anybody that is wearing that end up getting killed or beaten up. And the other thing we find now that's going on in Europe, because they're getting so many Muslims, is Christians is being de-Christianized as well. Historic German church, St. Lambertus, was demolished last month. The 19th century Catholic site in Germany was destroyed to make way for a coal mine. And the abandonment of old churches is not an economic question. Last year, the German Catholic Church revenue reached a record $7.1 billion. It's a question of cultural decline. I don't know how they can get so much money and yet turn around and not have people coming, you know. You know, unless they're just depending on the property, I don't know. But we've seen this. And of course, the biggest thing that we've seen is Islam is one of those things that is taking over. And I've mentioned it on the radio shows a lot. I said that when you reject the truth, there's only one thing left. That's the lie. And so, you know, the world doesn't like me to tell you that. But there's only one truth.
That's right.
And Yahshua, Jesus Christ, is that truth. Christianity is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through Yahshua, Jesus Christ. And so, and last week, I think it was, or the week before, I told you there was a, I forgot who it was, one of the leaders of one of the major political things over, I think it was Germany, became Islamic. He's going to regret that. But see, we see this all the time. And we see it in America as well, that push for Islam to take over for Christianity. But Christianity, you know, its throat was cut a long time ago. We have been solidifying our own demise because of our own complacency for decades now, folks. That's just all there is to it. And if you think you can be complacent in this old world, you're nuttier than a fruitcake.
That's for sure.
So it's just hard to believe. And this story was written by a cultural editor from Italy for a magazine over there. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to note that in Italy, you know, he's writing about that.
Yeah.
Now, Front Page Mag has Daniel Greenfield, who is a Shulman Journalism Fellow. at the Freedom Center. He's an investigative journalist, and he's focusing on radical left-wing Islamic terrorism. He was talking about this thing, about the memo being declassified. And the whole gist of the article is the fact that there was a coup against America brought to you by none other than Hillary Clinton and a few others, according to the sources.
Mm-hmm. Not surprising.
And, of course, the Democrats who threatened that you can't release it, and I remember them saying this, you know, they were threatening, no, you can't do that, you know, it ended up being released, and then the Democrats, their little main defense was, oh, that's a nothing burger. That's all there is, see? So when, this is typical. You know, you can't answer a fool according to his folly, and you can't expect a fool to find the truth. And so the coup against America, Daniel writes, operated as a state within the state inside the United States government. And, of course, he names in here the Clinton campaign had enlisted figures in the FBI and the DOJ to manipulate the election. I mean, that's what he's writing, and he's not the only one. The number of the talk show hosts picked up on that as well. And if you haven't figured that out yet, well, I mean, that's just the way it is. But I'm going to put a plug in here, because if you talk about a coup against America and you want to see some of the insider things, Tower told you about the Lucifer Project. That is just one little thing that I'm writing about in my book posts. The book is Steal the Darkness. It's book one in my Steal series, a Christian mystery thriller set in America.
And you wrote that in 2013 or 14.
Yeah, yeah. I've written
that. Long before even any of this stuff came about.
Yeah, I wrote about it a long time ago. And so I didn't say that in the book, but, you know, it's out there. So check out the site, any one of the sites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, and you'll find the book somewhere on there. And it'll give you a link directly to where you can get it. And so we are, it's hard to believe everything. You know, now, Tower, the other day you sent me this thing. India has 21 million unwanted girls. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It just breaks your heart. It's heartbreaking. It's just devastating. How can you throw away these babies, these girls?
Well, you know, the thing of it is, it just amazes me that that they do that. You know, of course, remember who's leading India now, the BJP, who is Muslim.
Yeah, and there's a lot of abortions going on because they get that, you know, find out what the gender of the baby is.
Then they kill him.
Yeah.
Well, China was doing the same thing because they wanted, you know, they were allowed one baby per family, and they needed a boy baby.
Yeah. So now they don't have enough girls.
Yeah, well,
to balance it out or to marry and things like that.
Well, sodomy 101, you know, I mean, you know, people are stupid today. Government, the leaders are dumb. You know, and of course here, you can't stop the people. You can't educate them enough to get them to know.
And women in our couples, particularly women in India, face immense pressure to produce male children, and many rural families do not send girls to school, marrying them off young. Well, it's the male that, you know, the sex is, of the child is from the male. It's not the woman who, but they think it's her fault because she has too many girls. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's a mess in the world. And, you know, this is, you know, there's going to be far more problems than there are people to be able to fix them. And you're, you know, we're heading into a time, folks, and it's in the future. But make no mistake, the trouble that we see in America around the world is going to continue. And that's why we are an end-time ministry, to get the word out, to help, you know, prepare people. But the bottom line of it is that you better be prepared. And it's very important to understand that there is a place that you can be in the Lord. And that is what we teach. Thursday and Friday night, we teach that. And when we do our podcast on Get Healthy Radio, that is for the health part, your body. And we address body, mind, and soul, and spirit there. And, you know, this is to help you get prepared, stay prepared, and be ready for what comes. So this is who we are on Warren Radio. And we've been covering a lot of things tonight on our prophecy news. And, you know, when you talk about innocent babies, there's nothing that makes me madder than what they're doing to the children today.
Oh, I know. And you know this, in India, where they want sons, so they keep having children until they have a son and then they quit. But there's a lot of illegal sex selection and gender-based abortions. They remain rampant across social and economic groups in the country. And according to a 2011 study in the British Medical Journal, The Lancet found that up to 12 million girls have been aborted in the last three decades in India.
Good grief.
Oh, that just is mind-boggling.
Well, you know, Netanyahu, I'm going to move on here, he was blasting Soros for funding kind of a rebellion against him.
Oh, he probably was.
And he was working to upset Netanyahu's work there. And it's kind of interesting when you think about it. And we've talked about the fact that George Soros collaborated with the Nazis. His dad was a Christian, but George Soros participated in the pillaging and killing. And Netanyahu said that George Soros was funding protests there that was going on in Israel. And so it's interesting to note that Obama, during his reign, actually funded, America was funding the opposition in Israel so that Netanyahu wouldn't get elected and so other things would happen. Obama was doing that. And nobody ever said anything or did anything. Now, if old Trump was caught doing that, everybody would come unglued. But it was okay for Obama to do that. So Obama got the idea, of course, from Soros and the money to do this. And they funneled it over there in order to do that. Well, Israel also made the news because she's part of 21 nations targeting the European jihadis. I didn't know this, but they say 40,000 people traveled around the world to take up arms for the Islamic State. And these 40,000 people are trying to get back into their home countries, including Israel. Some Jews went over there to take up. If you can believe that, why would a Jew want to do that?
Yeah.
Actually, Shin Bet said approximately 50 Arab citizens of Israel have traveled to Syria or Iraq to join the group in recent years. So,
unbelievable.
Yeah. Shin Bet said that a 26-year-old Arab Israeli man had been arrested. He had pleaded allegiance to the Islamic State group and was planning to carry out an attack in Israel on its behalf. Now, see, that's the kind of Israelis that we're talking about, not Jewish, but Arab, at least in this case here. And so, you know, I mean, that's one thing good, among other things, that Trump is doing. He's back in Israel. We back Israel. We support Israel, period. That's it. And so, you know, Tower, we've covered a lot of things tonight. And as we think about our brothers and sisters over the thing, do you got any final thoughts or anything?
Um,
Well, you can think about it.
Just keep praying for your brothers and sisters. And I sometimes feel guilty when I do feel guilty when I hear these stories and how horrible some of these situations are, but they still praise the Lord. And we're so blessed in America, you know, but I feel guilty that I have what I do, which is very little, you know, compared to a lot of people, but it makes me feel guilty that I'm so blessed. I have a roof over my head, hot water, clothes to wear, food to eat. That's a lot better than a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, we definitely don't live in one of these huge mansions that these people have around here.
Oh, I would never, anyway.
No, well, at any rate, that's neither here nor there. I don't miss that. We are looking to get some ground, and we do want to get some land and do some stuff to establish for the ministry. You know, we're glad you joined us tonight. We've covered a lot of issues. May the Holy Spirit touch you and lead you in remembering your brothers and sisters overseas and supporting the ministries that work for the Lord in these end of days. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you peace. And truly trust in the Lord. And so we're going to get out of here. This is time to go.
Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. Be sure to join us tomorrow night for Thursday Battle Lines. And we love you. We pray for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. Shalom.
Good night,
everybody. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.